get started. I don't have my attendance sheet today, so we're just going to go right into it as we continue in the sugya of Bishul Achar Bishul. So today, two things on the agenda, really, for today's shiur. Number one, to discuss the status of partially cooked food and what the halachas of Bishul are if the food is already partially cooked, because we know if the food is fully cooked, good, so then we have a klal, vein Bishul Achar Bishul. And then the second thing, and probably the primary thing to discuss, is the Ramah's famous compromise, meaning the discussion of Bishul Achar Bishul, but davar lach. So the Ramah has this famous compromise about if it's lo mitzdan in legamri. So I want to discuss that and the different explanations of what the Ramah might mean by that. So those are the two items on the agenda for today. So first, when it comes to partially cooked food, so we've been discussing that something that's already cooked is not subject to further Bishul. That's the klal of Bishul Achar Bishul. But we haven't defined exactly what does that mean, that something is mevushal, that something is already cooked, and therefore no longer subject to further bishul. Meaning, would we apply in bishul achar bishul to food that's partially cooked? What if there's still some more cooking? You go to a restaurant, you order a steak on Shabbos, and they, and you cut open the steak, and you see it's more rare than you would like it to be. So the truth is, some people will tell you that's the only way you can eat a steak. You're not supposed to eat a steak if it's well done. But you don't like it like that. You don't like your steak to be bleeding or mooing or anything. So you send it back into the kitchen, and they put it back on. So is that in Bishul Achar Bishul? That what they're cooking right now would not be a violation of Nisa Daraisa of Bishul because it was already cooked. It just wasn't cooked all the way. So how do we define Bishul Achar Bishul in terms of how cooked does it have to be to activate the klal of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul? So the Rambam explicitly says that Mavushal Kol Tzarcho, that it would be Bishul Daraisa to further cook something that is not yet Mavushal Kol Tzarcho. Meaning, even if it's already at Machal Ben Rusai, it's already edible, but it's not yet Mavushal Kol Tzarcho, that would be a problem of Ein Bishul Achar, that would be a problem of Bishul, of the Bishul Lechatchila, that would not yet activate the klal of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. That klal is only activated when it's Mavushal Kol Tzarcho. Did we mention, I think we mentioned that Rav Shechter has this, is pretty machmir on that definition of Mavushal Kol Tzarcho, that even though when it comes to meat, most people would eat it at a certain point in time, he requires that it be really, really, there be no redness in it whatsoever, otherwise it's a chashash of Bishul. So that comes up when it comes, you know, when you want to heat up meat on Shabbos day, you want to put it on the hot plate, on the plot, in the warming drawer, on the blech, or whatever. So if it's still red, meaning that most of our discussions about using a plot, a warming drawer, a hot plate, are dinim derabanan issues, are issues of mechsikim avashel, of shemi yichatim b'kachal, those kinds of issues that we haven't gotten into yet. But the whole assumption is that there's no bishul issue, that it's not an issue on a daraisa level. So that assumption is only true, according to the Rambam, if it's Mavushal Kol Tzarcho already. But if it's not Mavushal Kol Tzarcho, and if you define Mavushal Kol Tzarcho as not having any redness in the meat anymore, so then it's a real problem with the way that many of us heat up our food on Shabbos. And that's what did I mention this? I have a friend who's a caterer. He said the hardest psak from Shechter to follow as a caterer is that psak. It's because no one wants to eat food like that. No one wants to eat meat like that. They want the meat with some redness in it. So no one wants to eat it like that. Anyway, that's Shitas HaRambam, though. The Rashba, Shabbos Daf Yuches, applies it to anything that's already K'machal Ben Jusai. Once it hits K'machal Ben Jusai, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, and therefore, if you cook it any further than that, it's not going to be Bishul Midah Araisa. Simplest explanation of the Machlokas, Rambam and the Rashba, is when we say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, do we define the initial bishul halachically, or do we define it by what is happening practically? Meaning, on a halachic level, it is already mevushal, because kamach ben drusai, that's already mevushal. So then you might say, okay, once it's mevushal, so you can't have halachic bishul a second time, because you already had a halachic bishul once on it, it's already gotten to the point of halachic bishul. Whereas if you assume that it's about a qualitative change in the item, that's it's a whole spectrum, and it's an ongoing qualitative change. And just because you had one major qualitative change doesn't mean you can't have another major practical qualitative change in the item. So it's important to understand these two shitos and the ramifications of these shitos. According to the Rashba, let's say if you have a food that, yeah?
I think it's about Bishul Kol Tzarcho, meaning if it's going to be Mitzvah B'Yachalo after it's Bishul Kol Tzarcho, it's still technically able to be cooked more. So it's difficult taco is exclusively a practical thing. I mean, it could be cooked more and it'll be yuffle. I mean, is that?
Yeah, but the improvement is so minimal at that point. Once it's mavrushal kol tzarich,
so even on a practical level.
Yeah, I think so. I would think so. Now, according to the Rashba, let's say you have again. So, what was the Rashba shita? That if it's kamachul ben drusoy, once if it's kamachul ben drusoy, there's no issur daraisa further of bishul. So, according to the Rashba, what if you have food that's edible raw? Is that going to be subject to bishul? So, on the one hand, it never went through a bishul process. So, it's hard to say, oh, in bishul achar bishul, because it didn't have a first bishul. It just happens to be, I don't know, a carrot. It's something that's edible raw. But on the other hand, if the definition of bishul is going to be a major qualitative change, so maybe you're not really contributing much to the usage of the food by further cooking it. So it boils down to whether I'm interested in a physical bishul or a halachic bishul. So the Radvaz in Aleph Reishu Gimel, Chelek Aleph in Reishu Gimel, writes that on a Dabar Nechel Chai, there's no malchus. Because even food that's machul ben drusai isn't subject to bishul, so certainly a davar nechol chai is not going to be subject to bishul. What a kal v'chomer that is, right? What's he saying? He says teda shai davar shen is bashul kamachul ben drusai in chayav al bishulo. If something that's already kamachul ben drusai, there's no chiyav bishul. Meaning Rashba, if you assume like the Rashba that something that which he just assumes that that which is already a machul ben drusai, it's not going to be chayav mishum bishul. So he's working with Shita Sarashba and he makes this kal v'chomer to things that are edible raw, and he says that that apparently bishul means that you've made a major change physically in the item that contributes. It's not about halachic bishul, whether it had halachic bishul or not. No, it's about whether you made a physical significant change in the item. And a davar nechol k'mos shul chai doesn't need any significant changes. So any change that you make is considered insignificant. That's what the Radvaz seems to assume. So Will just points out that this raya is far from convincing. Something edible raw has never been cooked. The Rashba understands ein bishul achar bishul. Why does it say that when it's kamachol ben drusai we're gonna activate the rule of ein bishul achar bishul? Because he's not interested in how practical it is. He's not interested in bishul in terms of the practical benefit of the bishul. What's the Rashba working with? Halachic bishul. So once you have halachic bishul, which is bishul kamachol ben drusai, then there's not going to be any further bishul. But something that never had halachic bishul in a halachic sense has never been mevushal. So then, of course, it's going to be subject to bishul. So that's what Rav Willard points out, that this Radvaz is very shver, because he's taking what luchora is the Rambam's lamdus and applying it to the Rashba. Right? He's saying that once you hit machul ben drusai, it's not subject to bishul. Therefore, that tells me that if there's no major qualitative change, it's not going to be subject to bishul. No, that's not what it's saying. The reason the Rashba says once the machul ben drusai is not subject to bishul, the machul ben drusai is a halachic bishul. It's not about a practical bishul. Rav Willig does allow for the possibility that the Rashba might require both, that there was no previous halacha cooking, and that there's some sort of physical change in the new act of cooking in order to be chayiv mishum bishul. Right? That you need both. And if that's the case, then something edible raw might not be subject to bishul, even according to the Rashba. Meaning he says, I can hear the Radvaz's psak, but v'lav mitameh. Right, the Radvaz is just making this kal v'chomer from machul ben drusai. Says Rabbi Willig, it could be that in order to be chayiv mishum bishul, you need two qualifications: something that was never mevushal halachically, and something that when you're mevashal it right now, you're really doing something. You're really contributing something practically. And absent those two factors together, then you're not going to have a chiyuv bishul. Essentially, what Rabbi Willig is doing is, We thought we had a two-sided chakira, right? Which is the way chakiras are supposed to be. That either it's about the halachic bishul or it's about practically changing the item. And what he did is he added a third side. That maybe it's a choice A. You ever have those multiple choices? A, B, and C is A and B. D is neither A nor B. Those are the worst tests ever when you have those. So that's so Rabbi Willig is adding choice C is A and B, that that both of them are true. So we now have a three sided chakira that we have to think about.
Can you not say that the machlokes between the Rambam and the Rashba is about what is halachic bishul?
So say it out.
Meaning that according to the Rambam, it's not considered mevashal until it's mevashal kol tzarkei.
No, but that's not true. If you're mevashal to machlok ben shusayi, chayiv mishum bishul midaraisa. So the Prima Gadin in Shin Yud Ches Vav in Mishpsal Zahav, writes that, you know, Prima Gadin is such a it's such a bracha you have in your generation. You know, back in the old days, you had to look in the back of the Shulchan Aruch to find the Prima Gadin, and the letters were so tiny and it was so hard and it was so tedious. Now you have it so easy. It's a nice print. It's right there on the page. It's like easy to find. All you have to do is like work on figuring what he said, you know, figuring out what he says. But like the accessibility, it, you know, what Rabbi Akiva Eger writes in his introduction to the tshuvas about how he insists that they write the, that they print the tshuvas in a nice print and everything, because it just makes it a more enjoyable limud and a more engaging limud, and it makes it more likely that people will commit to the limud. It's so true. Like the difference in limud of Prima Gadim now versus what, you know, I don't know, 20 years ago, is significant. I remember the Maisa that Rav Schechter told us, that someone went over to Rav Moshe Feinstein at a wedding to ask him a question, and Rav Moshe immediately answered, oh, it's a Prima Gadim here, whatever. He just, it's enough in a Prima Gadim. So Rav Moshe, for some reason, thought the guy was trying to chap him, thought that the guy was trying to test him. So so as soon as the guy walked away, Rav Moshe turned to the person next to him and he said, he thought he was going to chat me on enough in a Prima Gadim? Like, how's that shaykh? Like, why would he think, which, at the time, that was like the craziest story ever. That he knew Prima Gadim so much, like the back of his head. Maybe now it's not as impressive, right? Because now it's so easy, so accessible. It's still pretty impressive. That he knew every Prima Gadim, that it's not shaykh to chat Ramesh on enough in a Prima Gadim. I remember when I was in MTA in high school, there was an 11th grade Rebbe, Rabbi Yonason Sachs, who then went on to be a Rosh Hashivi here for many years, and now is Rosh Hashivi in Lander College. So the guys in 11th grade used to like read random Rishonim and go over and ask for Sachs the questions of the Rishonim just to see if he would say, oh, no, that's a run, and whatever. And it worked most of the time. So we have this three-sided chakir. Is it about the halachic bishul? Is it about the practical contributing a major change, or is it that you need both? Now, Prima Gadim writes, that's how we got it. Prima Gadim in Mishpat Zav, Shin Yud Ches Vav, Prima Gadim writes in Stapakti, Bishal Bechamei Tavari Vetoldos Chama, Im Mevashal Achar Kach Bechamei Or Im Chayiv, Bechamei Or Im Chayiv, V'yir Depatim Shekvar Nisbashal, V'Avshar Demutu Legamri. So what's he saying? He discusses a food was cooked in the sun, for our purposes a microwave. Right, the food was cooked in a way that we haven't even gotten to this yet, but Bez Hashem, that's the next sugi after we do Bishul Achar Tzli, we'll get into this topic. A food was cooked by the sun, or, you know, which is not Bishul on a Daraisa level, but it was cooked. Is it still subject to Bishul when you now really cook it, when you now cook it Ali Dei Fayim? That's definitely what he's saying, right? I just don't think, meaning that's just not the simple pshat of the Rashi, but that's right. That's the assumption he's working with. I mean, I think.
Why
no.
Not, like,
I don't know. I would think that the pshat of the Rashi is that with the fact that when you hit Machlok ben Yosai, that there's no further issur d'oraisa of bishul. What do you mean? Machlok ben Yosai, most people wouldn't eat it. You would only eat it if you're absolutely desperate. Why would that not be the further issur d'oraisa of bishul? No, it's a technicality, because there's already halachic bishul. To say that that's not a major contribution to the food, you got one third of the way there, you know, or whatever, half the way there. That's not enough. You know, so why would that not be bishul? So that's what I would think. Svara would be the other way. But
the Rosh Hashanah is from bishul akam, right? There, I would think it's, you know, about, you know, relationship, the situation, so, and it's not going to say is enough, so apparently it's enough to break bread over.
And machlin jusai is enough, but why is beyond machlin jusai?
Meaning,
so that's when it's not a, right. I mean, by
bishlakim,
it's clearly not about a technical definition of bishul. I hear. By bishlakim, it's about just what's going to create a relationship, what's a significant change, a significant contribution. Yeah, I hear. Okay, good. Right. So what the Radbaz is learning in the Rashba, you're saying is the pashup shot in the Rashba. Okay. The Rashba's raya is bishalakum. I didn't remember that. Yeah, that's what he says. He says because if by bishalakum you have, if it's machal bishalay, then it's no longer subject to bishalakum. Yeah. Okay. Very good. Now the prim gadim suffik is, what if you mevashal it bechama, and then what have we done? What's he done? He said, what if you mevashal bechama, there was no halachic bishul, but there was a practical bishul. Because it's fully cooked, it's fully edible, it's fine, but you manage to get it ready without doing a halachic bishul. So it seems to be the same suffix. He raises the possibility that it's heter gomer, not even usher midrabanan, heter gomer to then cook it. So the Rambam should say pater, because it now no longer needs any cooking, and it's already been physically improved, and further cooking is not going to physically improve it. So if you're looking from the physical improvement perspective, right, so then for sure it doesn't need any further physical improvement, so therefore further physical improvement is going to be potter at worst than Issur Drabanan. If you learn the Rashba the way we were saying before, that it's about halachic bishul, so you should say it's Issur Daraisa, it never had a halachic bishul yet. But if you learn like the third side of the Chakira, right, like Rav Willick's side of the Chakira, that you need both, that it needs to be that there was no previous halacha cooking and there's some sort of physical change. So if he also requires a physical improvement in the new cooking, then it should be mutter according to the Rashba, right? If you learn like Rav Willig's possibility in the Rashba, then it should be mutter. So you got to work through all three sides of the chakira. This comes up. Okay. Doesn't come up so much. So, you know, one could distinguish between, let's say, a microwave and bishul b'chama. You know, whenever we say bishul b'chama, I just throw out the word microwave. We're going to have to discuss that a little bit. But, you know, bishul b'chama or b'toldos chama. You ever go to, like, Arizona in June or July? Anyone ever been to Arizona in June or July? So I have, and okay, Moshe has. So if you go to Arizona, it is like you'll see like small bugs just like exploding in the air. Not really, but like you feel like they should. It's just, it is so hot. I remember my wife and I were there in 2002 in Phoenix, and on the radio in the car they said that at 11 o'clock at night we were driving, like the temperature finally dropped to 90 degrees at 11 o'clock at night. You know, during the daytime in the sun it was like 110. It was like, it was so, so hot. So yeah, bishul b'chama is shaykh. You can take a frying pan, put it on a car. Everyone has white cars. You put it on a black car, and for sure, no problem. That's toldos chama. You could easily do a bishul b'toldos chama. Things would get fully cooked in the normal way. The thing is, when you cook the chama or b'toldos chama, it's going to taste the same as regular bishul. Meaning, what's heating the metal that you're cooking on is really irrelevant to the taste of the food. It's just the temperature of the metal that you're cooking on. When you cook in a microwave, it's a qualitatively different kind of cooking. I mean, if you were to take something that you cooked in a microwave and then throw it on the grill, you're changing it entirely when you put it on the grill. It's an entirely different kind of change to the item. So if your focus is on the qualitative change to the item, so bishul, the microwave, is going to be very different than regular bishul. You put something in a microwave, it just tastes different. It's just not the same. That's why I always thought, we'll discuss it in more detail probably next week, that Rav Moshe's famous tshuva about microwaves, Rav Moshe wrote the tshuva in like 1972. And he said, oh, they came out with this new thing called the microwave, and soon you're going to see no kitchen is going to have an oven. Everyone's going to do rove of their bishul in a microwave. And therefore, ain derech bishul gadol mizeh. It's such a classic derech bishul because it's so amazing. You can bake a potato in there in 5 minutes. It's unbelievable. So most poskim, contemporary poskim, they just quote Rav Moshe. They just use that as like, yeah, and that's a given. He was obviously right because every kitchen has a microwave. Every kitchen has an oven also. I don't think people use their microwaves for cooking. No, I mean, unless you're, what?
There are some foods that
very few, I think, no, unless it's a microwave dinner and like you're just too lazy to make real dinner, no, to cook a food, what do you cook in a microwave?
I don't know, potato is a good example.
Potato is an example, okay, that's a good example. That was my example. Give me another one. give me your example. I don't know. In my house, the microwave is used. We have two microwaves. One for milk and one for plates. The microwaves are used for warming food up. All bishel happens in the oven or on the stove.
If it warms up liquids, that would be called bishel for those who shun.
Yeah, lechare would be the same. Yeah, for liquids it would be the same because it doesn't make a difference. Although even for it's not as good. Meaning it doesn't evenly distribute the heat. It doesn't. But in a chinami, the qualitative change is the same because it's all about temperature. You've got to give it a stir. Rav Vosner in Chelek Yud Siman Samach Beis makes that distinction. When it comes to bishel achatzli, that has a different impact on the item. So a microwave has a different effect than normal fire. So the microwave has nothing to do with this prima gadim, perhaps. I mean, the prima gadim is about when you manage to isolate the issues of halachic bishel and practical bishel. It could be a microwave is it might not be halachic bishel. And even practically, the further bishel that you do might be a real qualitative change, because the microwave and real bishel affect different changes. So I think Rav Vosner makes that ha'ara. Now, the Ran writes not to pour hot water into a chalent, because whichever one is yatzoledes is going to cook the other one. And once the water leaves the walls of the first kli, it loses its status as a kli rishon, and it will be nispashal when it enters the chalent in the kli rishon. So he's assuming that bishel achar bishel can apply to a liquid stew, not just to water. And even though the physical change has happened and the bishel doesn't disappear, we're still going to say that it's going to be a violation of bishel, which is against the prima gadim. He assumes that it only applies to water. The Ran also seems to assume that a halachic bishel and not a physical bishel is the real criteria over here. Because the water outside the kli rishon is physically just as hot as the water in the kli rishon. It's just that halachically it's not a kli rishon anymore. But physically it's the same. It's halachically different. And that's why it's subject to further bishul. So that's an interesting maramakum in the topic of physical versus halachic bishul. But that's not the primary topic I wanted to discuss today.
Is that because the Ran holds in bishlachat bishul with davar lach? I mean, how does that factor in here? Maybe lach plays by different rules, so it's not a raya.
Maybe lach plays by different rules.
So we said it was a
Meaning that you'd say Yesh Bishel Achav Bishel B'davar Lach?
Right. Maybe he's holding that, and then it's not a Raya to the.
But why? Why is Lach play by different rules? So if it's about the Chimum, so Adrab, it's still Cham.
He's clearly assuming Halachic Bishel.
So that's what I'm saying. That,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Josh.
Or we showed him by. Mishani, let's say, when they all say that there's obviously some element of halachic bishul, just a question of how much halachic bishul.
How much halachic bishul plays into bishul achar bishul?
Right.
So for the bishul rishon, for sure, halachic bishul is bishul. Question is, when it comes to the sugya vein bishul achar bishul, how much does halachic bishul make a difference?
Right, so the Ran applying it to the rishon mishani, does that mean that
it's talking about something that was already mavushal? So, but what I really wanted to spend the bulk of our time today, which I guess half of our time today, because that's what's left, is the Rama. The Rama in Shinyin Ches Tezvav, there are two basic opinions in Rishonim, as far as we know, about Bishul Achar Bishul with liquids, with soup or something. Either you could only recook it if it's still Yatzel Edesbo, meaning Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul, so don't cook it again if it lost its first bishul at all, if it's below yatzoledes. So if you have a soup that you remove from the fire, you can only put it back on the fire if it's still yatzoledes, if it's still really hot. So essentially, yesh bishul achar bishul b'davar lach. And the other possibility is, no, you can always recook, because ein bishul achar bishul, and even by a davar lach, we would say ein bishul achar bishul. So it's always not a problem to recook it. Right? Those are the two possibilities. Comes along the Ramah, and the Ramah passes like neither of those opinions. The Ramah says like neither of those shitos. He says as long as it's lomit stani l'gam, as long as it's not fully cooled down, so now you're still allowed to be mevashel it again. So you take hot water out of the urn, right? you have one of those urns where the top can come off easily and could just be put right back on, right? Not where no lights and bells and whistles are going to go off, like an old-fashioned urn. And you take hot water out of the urn, so it was fully cooked, and then you let it sit on the counter for a while, and then you go back 20 minutes later, it's still a little warm, you pour it right back in the urn. No problem. Why? Because it's low on the side of the gami. It's not fully cooled off. So you have no problem of re-cooking it if it's low on the side of the gami. That's the shita of the Ramah. There are five approaches that some of the Achronim collect to try to explain where the Ramah is coming from. Meaning, marashach. If it's yesh bishal achar bishal, then once it goes below yatzaladis, you run into trouble. And if it's ein bishal achar bishal, why does it still need to be warm at all? Let it be that's done in the gamri. It's not going to be a problem. Where does Ramah pull this idea that it makes a difference if it's fully cooled off? And also, how do you define Nitzan in the gamri? What does Nitzan in the gamri mean? How cold? Room temperature? Or is there some other measure of Nitzan in the gamri? So there's a sefer called Gvuras Akiva. Anyone see this sefer yet? Gvuras Akiva. When I was doing Bishul in Keli Masmidim a couple of summers ago, I asked my friend Rabbi Yehuda Volzin for advice on a good sefer, and he said Gvuras Akiva. It's one of these guys in Lakewood that spent like 6 years learning Bishul, and he wrote up like a fantastic Maramakum sefer. It's just got tons and tons of Maramakumos, and when you order it online, it's like one of those the new thing to do in Lakewood is when they write Svarim, they do it on Amazon. So like when you order it, like you print the cut. Most of your books that you buy on Amazon work like that now. They don't have warehouses full of books anymore. They just print on demand. So what they do is they write it in Hebrew and they just paginate backwards. So they prepare the whole sefer backwards. But when it comes in order. It must be a lot of confusing work to get to that point. But anyway, so you can order it, it'll come in 2 days shipping or whatever. So the sefer Gvuras Akiva says that there are five different possibilities of how to understand the Ramah. We're not going to go through all five, but we'll go through a few different possibilities. Just logically, what the possibilities might be. Possibility number one is that the Ramah is machmir, that really yesh bishal achar bishal. It could be that he's unsure, and he comes up with some sort of pshara because he's not sure, which is strange, because the pshara has to make sense, right? Meaning it's like pshara doesn't mean that you just stam, compromise, split the difference. That's not the way pshara works. Pshara has to mean something. Even in din, when it comes to Lashon Mishpat, when you know the sugi and sanhedrin and mitzvah l'ksala, whether it's asul ksala, mitzvah l'ksala, but pshara in din, pshara krov l'din, means that you come up with a compromise that makes sense. I was just on a din Torah recently where one of the dayanim said, okay, let's do a pshara and we'll split it down the middle. So one of the other Dayanim said, Rav Schwartz was one of the other Dayanim, he says, Pshara means, Pshara doesn't mean we split the difference, Pshara means that we do what makes sense. And in this case, what makes sense is give all the money to that, you know, award entirely to that person. I thought he was 100% right. Right? That's what Pshara means, something that makes logical sense. It means that you're not doing strictly based on what it says in Chosh Mishpat, you're doing what makes logical sense. So here also, Pshara, if you can come up with some Pshara in Halacha, it's going to make sense. It's not going to, you know, it has to in some way satisfy both the pigments. A third possibility is that ein bishal achar bishal, but we throw in a chumrah. That you know, it could be yesh bishal achar bishal, he's really machmir, and for whatever reason we're gonna have to figure out the one side of the gamri. It could be ein bishal achar bishal, but we just throw in an extra chumrah. Or it could be that there's another sheet in Rishonim that we just don't know about, that he's just quoting another sheet in Rishonim that actually exists. Or it could be that if fully cooled, then it's not an isr bishal, but an isr chazar. Meaning en achinami, there's no isr bishal once it's already been cooked. But once it's fully cooled down, now you can have a different Nisr and Nisr Chazar. Okay, we're not going to go through all of those possibilities, but I want to go through three or four possibilities with you and discuss the ramifications of them. First, the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham appears in Reish Nun Gimel, Sivkatan Lamed Zayin. It's a little bit confusing when you're cross-referencing back to Reish Nun Gimel, because over there, it's in the Dinim Drabanan of Bishul. So you're talking all about Hatmana and Achazara, and most of the discussions are really about that. But Derech Agav, they sort of sneak in some of the Yesodos of actual Bishul Daraisa. But the Magen Avraham writes, or indicates, that really the Ramah holds Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul. Once it's cooled, certainly it's subject to Bishul. But if it's still edible without reheating, then you would consider that to be like Ki'ilu Tzmachu Ben Drusai. And therefore, it's not subject to any more bishul. bases that in the Trumas Hadeshin in Sima Samach Vav. Mordechai, that the Trumas Hadeshin is based on Hagos Maimonios, Smag. Meaning, he seems to assume like the Rashba, that once the food is at Machal Ben Yisai, there will be no issue to cook it anymore. So, if you could come up with a liquid equivalent of Machal Ben Yisai, then you would have a situation where there's no issue to cook it. So, according to the Rashba, unlike the Rambam, who would say that no, even if you get the liquid equivalent of Machum and Drusai, till you get the liquid equivalent of Mushal Kol Tzarcho, you have an issur d'orais to cook it. But seeming to assume like the Rashba, that once food is at Machum and Drusai, you're allowed to cook it. And therefore, lo nitzan in the gamri means that it's warm enough that it's the liquid equivalent of Machum and Drusai. And that's why you're allowed to recook it, because it's already cooked. We're assuming like the Rashba. The problem is that the smag, which it's all based on, holds like the Rambam, that food needs to be mevushal kol tzarcho in order not to be subject to dishal, and not just machal ben yisai. Yet the smag holds that if the soup is still edible based on its heat, then there's no iser bishal. So it's hard to say that that's pshat in the smag that all of this is based on, when the smag himself holds like Shita Sarambam. The smag probably holds that the definition of cooking by a liquid is the warmth, but the yatzoledis is not necessary. That the real geder is that which would be eaten on account of its warmth, which is usually yatzoledis, but not always. So when the Ramah says lo nitzan in the gamri, he means that it's, and this is what the Magen Avraham said, he means that it's still edible on account of its warmth. That it's, you know, if you're looking for a hot drink, someone brings you a hot coffee in the morning. Oh, thank you so much, love a hot coffee. But, you know, then you have a phone call and a meeting or whatever. You, by the time you get back to your coffee, it's not hot anymore. So how warm would it, how cool would it have to be for you to spill it down the drain? Right? Meaning at a certain point, you're going to say, this is just not worth it, I'll make a new one. But at some point, you'll say, okay, it's still warm enough, I'll still drink it. When you would still drink it as a warm beverage, that's what Lonitzan in the Gamri means. It doesn't mean that it's above room temperature. It means that it's Lonitzan to the point that you wouldn't call it a warm beverage anymore. Question? The Eglital is something very similar, but sort of like from the other perspective, sort of like from the Rambam's perspective. The Eglital writes that the Rambam holds that even food that's Machal Ben Yisai is still subject to Bishl, right? But the Eglital holds that that's only Midrabanan. That even Lashita Sarambam, where you're going to be, where there's going to be an Isser Bishel after something is cooked to Machal Ben Yisai, that Isser is only an Isser Drabanan. So follow along. So what does the Eglital say? We have a Machlokas with the Yesh Bishel Achar Bishel or Ein Bishel Achar Bishel B'davar Lach. Here are the givens. Given number one, the Rambam holds that once something's at Machal Ben Yisai, even the Rambam would say that it's only an Isser Drabanan to be Mbashel it further. Right, not in this Adaraisa. Given number two, we have a machlokas with the Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal Ein Bishal Achar Bishal B'davar Lach. Given number three is the same assumption that the Magen Avraham made, that when something is warm enough to be drunk as a warm beverage, that's the equivalent of Machal Ben Yisai. When something is hot enough that you would say, oh, okay, that's still a hot coffee, I'll still drink it. That's the equivalent of Machal Ben Yisai. It's less than Yatzoledes. Let's say Yatzoledes, for argument's sake, is 120 degrees. Something that's 105 degrees, you would still drink as a warm beverage. 75 degrees, maybe hotter than the room temperature in most normal rooms, not in like rooms in this building, but in most normal rooms. But it's not, you would never view a 75 degree drink as a warm drink. So warm enough to drink as a warm drink, that's the equivalent of Machal Ben Yisai. So it comes along, the Eglital says, you can rely on the sheet of Ein Bishel Achar Bishel for liquids when the whole shaila is only the Rabbanan shaila. So what happens? If you have a liquid that's still in its standing the gamri, what does that mean? It means that you would still drink it as a warm drink, which means it's Machal Ben Yisai. It's the equivalent of Machal Ben Yisai, which means that your whole shaila of Bishel is a shaila on what level? A Rabbanan level. Because once it's at Machal Ben Yisai, it's only Nisa Drabanan. Ah, Yesh Mishalach Mishal, Ein Mishalach Mishal. I don't know, Sabe. Sabe Drabanan, the Kula. since I'm not sure whether yesh bishlach or bishul, ein bishlach or bishul, when you have the liquid equivalent of machal ben yusai, you can say something to Rabbanu Lakula. And that's what Rama is saying. Rama himself is mesupak, a liquid that's still had enough to drink is like a food that's machal ben yusai. Cooking solid food past machal ben yusai is only used as Rabbanan. So the question of cooking liquid that's hot enough to drink as a hot beverage is a question on the Rabbanah level. So since there's a suffix, whether yesh bishlach or bishlach, ein bishlach or bishlach b'tabalach, suffix to Rabbanah, you could be mekil. This assumes, let me just point out the assumptions over here, an assumption and a question. This assumes, first of all, that Rav Willig's understanding of the Rambam is incorrect. Because Rav Willig thought that the Rambam holds that even fully cooked food is subject to bishlach midrabbanah. Up until being fully cooked is bishlach d'oraisa. Right? That's assumption number one, is that Rabbi Willig's understanding is incorrect. Also, the Aglei Tal and the Hashmatos points out he has a kasha on himself. If there's a liquid equivalent to machal ben yusai, let's say Yatzeled is 120 degrees. Let's say this new number that we just came up with, this liquid equivalent to machal ben yusai, let's say it's 105 degrees. If I take cold water and I cook it to 105 degrees, did I violate this is the rice of Bishul? But the answer should be yes, because if you take solid food and you cook it to Machal Ben Yusai, it's the rice of Bishul. So when you take liquid and you cook it to the halachic equivalent of Machal Ben Yusai, it should be the rice of Bishul. But it's not true. You only chayv on cooking liquid if you cook it to Yatzeledes. So the Aglei Tal asked that kasha on himself in Hashmatos, and he has a mahalik to answer. But that's a kasha he asked himself, yeah.
What does the Rambam hold about?
What is Shita Sarambam about Tavalach? Anyone remember? He's not Mechalik. Right, we saw that. Yeah, we just said it the other day. He's not Mechalik at all. It's in Tavalach.
The Chazal makes sense even within the Rambam.
What's that?
The Rama is using all within the Shita of the Rambam.
The Rama is using all within the Shita of the Rambam in the sense that.
Because he's using in Bishalach or Bishalach by Tavalach.
Well, what we're suggesting now is that he's Mesupak, he's not sure. Meaning what the Aglei Tal is suggesting is that the Rama himself doesn't know, so he's, since it's a Safek, he's willing to say something. Once you get it to a Darabban and Shaili, he's willing to say something to Darabban and Lakula. But if it's in Stan in the Gavri, it's a Darabban and Shaili.
Is he doing a Pshara, or is he just going all within the Shita Rama? I mean, like,
no, it's a Safek, it's not a Pshara, it's a Safek. It's a Safek in Din. So you follow the normal Kalei HaSafek. If you could make it, if the way it presents is as a Darabanan Shaila, i.e. it's already at the liquid equivalent of Machal Ben Yusai, so it's a Darabanan Shaila.
Yeah.
So then it's Safek Darabanan Lakula.
That's the Rambam Shita, that it's in Bishul after Bishul, and that it's only Darabanan in that stage, which is understanding.
But he's not sure about the Rambam Shita about in Bishul after Bishul. His whole, what he's accepting about the Rambam is that once something gets to Machal Ben Yusai, that cooking it further is going to be only in the Sidra Banu. How that plays out in liquids, that's a machlokas, and he's not sure how to play that out. But in the world of solid foods that the Rambam holds, that cooking it past Machal Ben Yusai is an Isser, he says is an Isser Dira Banan, and that he's willing to stick with. Ephraim and I just saw this morning, Rav Shmuel Orbach has a very, I thought, very elegant understanding of the Rama that just very simple and seems to, the Aglei Tal is like, it's a lot, Rav Shmuel Orbach, I thought, has like a very straightforward understanding. It's quoted in Orch HaShabbos. He quotes Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shmuel Orbach constantly. When we met him, he told us he was a Talmud of Rav Shmuel Zalman Orbach. But I guess, I don't know, it turns out there are two authors, right? It's not only Rav Rubin, it's this other fellow also. I forgot his name.
Rabbi Gelber,
yeah. So I don't know, maybe Rabbi Gelber's a Talmud of Rav Shmuel and Rabbi Rubin's a Talmud of Rav Shmuel. I don't know. But anyway, Rav Shmuel Arbach has a third sheet, according to the Orch HaShabbos, that the gather of Bishul for water, going back, right? The gather of Bishul for water is chimum. It's a totally different, unlike a solid where it's about, a solid food, there's like a point where it gets to Bishul. Machal Ben Yusai, that's the point of Bishul. When it comes to water, it's about chimum of the water. It's the heating up of the water. So in order to affect Bishul by a liquid, you have to do some chashava act of chimum. if something was already warm, to warm it up further may not be a real chashva act of chimur. So it may not be real bishul. Meaning, when you have a solid food, if it's like this far away from Machl Ben Shusai, and then you cook it for another 3 seconds, you did bishul d'arayz. Because there's a point of bishul. When it comes to a liquid, it's about doing the chashva chimum of the liquid. So if the liquid is still something that you would drink on account of its warmth, you would still call it a warm coffee, and you would still drink it. So how much of a chimum is really you really accomplishing? But if it's totally cold, so then you're accomplishing a real chimum, a real substantial chimum. So those are the three pshatim that all assume, that all Magen Avraham, Eglei Tal, and Shmuel Auerbach, all assume that this is min hadin, that the Rama says that it has to be lo nitzan l'gamri, and that the definition of lo nitzan l'gamri means that it would still be considered a warm beverage. The majority of achronim assume not that way. I think the majority of achronim, certainly the ones we normally paskin like, they paskin like the Minchas Kalim, the Mishnah Berura in Shin Yuches Sadites, the Chazon Ish Lamed Zayin Yud Gimel, the Igros Moshe Archaim Chedav Dalad Simen Ayin Dalad, and the Big Tshuva Rabbi Eider Bishul Os Beis, all seem to assume like the Minchas Kohen, which is quoted by the Eglei Tal also. Minchas Kohen, I don't think I have a Minchas Kohen. He wrote a very prominent sefer on Zmanim. That's where I mostly know it from, hearing my father-in-law talk about it. But Minchas Kohen holds that really ein bishlach or bishlach filu b'davalach. I mean, the Rambam paskins, it's not a problem, like the Rambam, straight like the Rambam. There's no bishlach or bishul b'davalach. Just like in bishlach or bishul b'davalach, no bishlach or bishul b'davalach. Al yesa se'es, a chumra b'alma, if it's nitzan in the gamri, you should be machmi. But even the Rambam holds really meikar adin, even if it fully cooled down, it would be fine. That's a chumra we throw in, that if it's nitzan in the gamri, then you shouldn't cook it. So again, Ramesha, Chazanish, Mishabura, and those are the people we normally pass in like. They all seem to assume this way. What's the definition of nitzan in the gamri? It's not about a warm beverage. The sign of the gamri seems to be about, literally, is it fully cooled down back to room temperature? If room temperature in your house is 71 degrees, and this is 78 degrees, then it's lo nitzan in the gamri, and you can cook it back up again. Rav Moshe over there in Osia Tess, therefore, says that you can pour a new cup of tea. Let's say you pour a cup of coffee or tea in the morning, hot cup of coffee or tea, you drink it, and you want a second cup. So there are some droplets in the cup that are still there from the first time, right? But they were already cooked once. But they're doubling it's done in the gamri. It's like a tiny amount that's on the surface of the cup. So it's for sure it's done in the gamri. Can you pour more hot water directly into that cup? So Moshe says, yeah. Why? Meikra din ain't bishlach or bishl anyway, bidabalach. Meikra din, that's what the Ramah paskits. Elamai, what? Ramah was machmir. The chumrah of the Ramah won't apply to these tiny little drops. Ramah was machmir not to do a real bishl on something significant when it's on the side of the gamri, but something so minuscule is not going to be so machmir anyway. Because meikra din, you follow the ikra din. Rabbi Willig is machmir in that shayla, if I'm not mistaken. Rabbi Willig holds you got to dry out the cup before you pour in a new thing. Just to mention that, I mentioned that this morning, Rabbi Eliyahu Wolf told me, Rabbi Willig's son-in-law told me that Rabbi Willig's minhag is that he decides what Marash HaKolo is going to learn in a particular year. 2 days before Kolo, he buys a sefer on that topic. The night before Kolo, he reads the entire sefer. And then he spends the entire summer arguing on everything in that sefer, whatever that sefer is. That's his mahalik. He finds a foil, and then he goes after that foil for the whole summer. Yeah.
I don't understand the difference in the amounts that the Moshe's bar. Is there a shear? How much mine you have to cook every week? Like, I don't know.
It's not that it's a shear. It's that meikra din. It's all mutter anyway.
So
the Ramah is machmir if it's if you're really cooking. No one thinks of this as cooking the waters. If it looks like you're cooking water, this isn't adrabah. Doesn't it secretion to lo michalei? Ramah has these kinds of svaras. You'd be better off if you were starting from zero because now you're mixing in cold with your hot coffee. Secretion to lo michalei on something that's mikra din motor anyway. That kind of thing. Yeah. Big nafkamina between the other approaches and this approach is how to define manatzan and the gami, like you said, right? According to the other approaches, it would have to be warm enough that you consider it warm for drinking. According to this, as long as it's above room temperature. The Avnei Nezer discussed the following shayla. I thought this was an interesting thing to plug in over here. The Avnei Nezer, author of the Agli Tal, in the nice printings of the Agli Tal, they have the tshuvas of the Avnei Nezer that are relevant in the back of the Agli Tal. So the Avnei Nezer in Simon Kuf Tzadi Osvav discusses the following. You have a liquid that was fully cooked, brought to a boil, let's say, fully cooked. You allowed it to cool down, back to room temperature, all the way back down, a cool 70 degrees, right, back to room temperature. You happen to have another cup of water that's really, really hot. Can you do the following? Take your room temperature water, pour it into your really, really hot water. Now the mixture is going to be not nitzan in the gamli, right? It's going to be above room temperature, obviously. And then recook it. No, when you pour it in, it's not cooking because you're not bringing it to Yatzaledas.
Oh, the second cup's not Yatzaledas?
The second cup might be, but once it's fully mixed with the first cup, it's no longer going to be.
When you pour it in originally, aren't you pouring not Yatzaledas though into Yatzaledas?
Yeah, but you're pouring the whole thing in, so it becomes less than Yatzaledas. It cools down the whole tarot. And it's cliche, let's say. Right? So nothing to worry about. So you pour it, we can discuss cliche and cliche here. But the original pouring is not a problem. The resulting liquid that you get from the original pouring is 105 degrees. Now you have a 105 degree water, you want to cook it up to 180. Are you allowed to do that? So what would you tell you? It might depend how you understand this Rama. Right? So how do you play it out? So if you hold, let's go with the easy shita and see if it follows through. If you hold like the lashi, all those that say that really ain't bishul achar bishul b'davar lach. The only thing is, if it's nitzan legamri, we gotta be machmir. So what would you tie them to in this case? Was it nitzan legamri?
At some point, yeah.
Yeah? At some point it was nitzan legamri. So that which was nitzan legamri, you're not allowed to cook again. We'll come out, you'd have to, it comes out a little funny, right? If you say, ein bishlach and bishl b'davalach, really maker I did. But the Ramah says, you have to be machmir when it's nitzan legamri. And this was nitzan legamri. But, yeah.
But we said the whole thing with Rav Moshe was that it doesn't look like a cooking lady pouring the little dregs at the bottom of the teacup. So once that water's lost, it's...
Yeah, but Rav Moshe has a bunch of sorts of secretions. It's a nothing, this is a something. If you assume, let's say, like the Orfa Shabbos has from Rav Shmuel Orbach, that you're doing a chashava, meaning that the reason for the sign of the gamri is because if it's low in the sign of the gamri, if it's warm enough to be drunk as a warm beverage, then heating it up further is not considered a davar chashav at all. So then at point one, point A, where you poured it into the other thing, no issue for sure. Point B, when it's already warm, it's already at that 105 degree temperature that you like to drink your coffee at, let's assume. And now you're heating it up hotter, it's 150, 160 degrees. You didn't do a chashav at. So the chor would be mutter. It's funny because it turns out like it's backwards, right? Meaning those who are mekel, you would think Rav Moshe the Chazanish, that's the big mekel opinion over here. That really the Ramah holds ein bishul achar bishul. There's no isur bishul at all on a liquid that's cooled down. But in that case, it would be machmir. And those who are machmir that no yesh bishul achar bishul. It's just that it's got to be something significant. Let's say, then it could be that in this case there'd be mekel. Because it happens to not be something significant at either point in the process. Similarly, if you say like the Agli Tal, that once it's the equivalent of Machu Ben Drusai, so now it's only a Shaila Mita Rabbanan.
Why are you not using the Masha still with cold water? Okay. So you put it in the warm water and then it becomes warm.
because according to Rav Shmuel Arbach, the definition of bishul is chimum. And chimum has to mean that you bring it from this point to that point. But to bring it from this point to that point is not chimum.
From this point to this point.
It was cooked
already. Yeah, it was already cooked, right. And then it was inside in Lagami, and at no point did you do, and no act that you did was a full act of chimum. Right, it was a real act of bishul, according to Rav Shmuel Arbach's approach.
Would this be the same question as you have in temperature water? You cook it up to here, then you shut the fire off, you wait a couple of minutes, and then you turn the fire back on. You cook it from here to here, then from here to here.
That was already previously cooked, obviously.
Yeah.
Meaning, as long as you could break it down into two separate actions. And that sounds crazy. Yeah, it does sound a little crazy.
Especially if you're in tent, like in this case with the cup.
Meaning, it's not just similar to that, it's mamish that. Because you are actually taking, it's the same molecules of water that you just heated from 70 degrees to 105 degrees that you're now heating from 105 degrees. It just has additional molecules of water mixed in with it. Yeah, it's interesting because the Amnei Nezer and the Tshuva is machmir, but not for that reason. He talks about that it's not batel, and it's not. I guess it is that reason in the end of the day, because he says you are cooking up that same water, and if it would be batel and everything else, it would be. I mean, so the Avnei Ezer doesn't follow through in his own right. I mean, he's machmir in the end. So maybe that's the svara. Now, yeah, this psak of the Ramah is very, very relevant in a lot of areas. So not only in refilling your coffee cup, but Mishabura writes in Sivkatan Chav Gimel that if you want to put stuff that is Nispashal Ligamri, Nistanin Ligamri, into a Klisheni, we can be Mekel. Because Klisheni is Enom Avashal, plus this Ramah, and you combine the two factors, and then it's going to be Mutter. L'chora, it's a difficult mishaburah because you don't need to combine anything. Klisheni is just not a problem. So there's no tzad v'hachmir. It's difficult to understand why there would be a tzad v'hachmir to begin with. But another case where this really comes up, and this I did some research many years ago, I wonder if it's still relevant. There are a lot of Shabbos urns that use, almost all of them now, that they have like a water indicator light, not light, a water indicator level on the outside. So you can see how much water is left in the urn. That tube that has that water that shows you how much water is left in the urn is not in the part of the urn that's getting heated up. Right, it's external to the base kibble where all the coils are. The water in that tube is not boiling like the water in the urn itself. What happens? How does it know how much water is left in the urn? How does it tell you? Because when you pump out some water, there's an opening in between the tube and the rest of the urn, and it evens itself out. So water gets mixed between the tube and the rest of the urn. So if you have cold water in that tube, and you pump out some water, some of that, it's a minuscule amount of water, there's a remixture of the water, some of the boiling water is going to go right into that tube, and some of the water from that tube is going to go into the main base kibble, and it's going to be nisfasha. So how are you ever allowed to take water out of the urn? Isn't it being mevashal, whatever's in that tube?
Isn't it always connected? It's all one. The water's not, there's no separation.
Oh, so it's all warm, but it's not hot.
No, it's all connected. The water constantly goes back and
forth. No, it doesn't constantly go back. It's a little, it stays stagnant until you upset it, until you move it.
There's no upset between the two. There's no wall.
Yeah, but the it'll stay until you shake it a little bit. So, yeah.
Why is it different than a Moshe's case?
Oh, so why is it in a Moshe's case? Because, what do you mean in a Moshe's case?
It's a drop of water.
Even a Moshe would say, let's say I take a coffee cup and I rinse it out in cold water in the sink. No hot water at all. Then it's not a question of Bishul Achar Bishul, it's Bishul Achar Chila. So that's going to be Yasir. The whole discussion of Lo Nistan in the Gamri is only if it was Mavushal once. But something that was never Mavushal is going to be Yasir. If the water in that tube was never cooked, of course you're not allowed to cook water that was never cooked. Our whole discussion is bishul achar bishul. But something that was never cooked, of course you're not allowed to cook it. So I remember like 20 years ago, I was still living in Cedar, so I had to go 20 years ago, I was bothered by this. And I went to the Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik Institute in Boston, which was run by Rabbi J.J. Schaffner at the time, the now defunct Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik Institute. It was before the Yeshiva University started something called the Center for the Jewish Future and lured Rabbi Schaffner back to New York. But he was in Boston having a good time, you know, and rabbis would come and he'd do Yachid Kalos for them. And, you know, he was able to work on his scholarly stuff and whatever. He was having a great time. So a bunch of rabbis would come. And he introduced me to the guy that invented the, you know, the pump pot urn. So I called the guy up afterwards, and when I had this kasha, I said, "How do you deal with the fact that you're being mevashel?" So he said, "Oh, we have a letter from the Institute of Halacha and Technology." So he sent me the letter from the Institute from Rav Rosen or whoever it was, and it said, you have to make sure that it comes to a boil before Shabbos, and you take out one cup before Shabbos so that it will remix, so that everything will cook once, and then it will never be done in the gamri, and then you can continue to take out water from there on Shabbos. And in the tshuva it said, and make sure that on the urn, there's a sticker on the urn that has those instructions explicitly so people don't get confused and think that they can just heat up the water in the urn before Shabbos. So I said, "There's no sticker on the urn." He said, "Yeah, but I put it in the instruction manual." So I said, "Who reads an instruction manual on an urn? Like, what kind of idiot?" It's like, "I just don't know what to do with this. Where does this plug go? It doesn't go here. It doesn't go." You fill it up with water and you plug it into the wall. So pashtus is that's what you really have to do. Really, mikra dimi daraisa. Because it doesn't get to, unless you do an experiment. And you're able to tell that the water in the tube gets the atzoledes. So if it gets the atzoledes, so then you have then you're okay. But if it doesn't get the atzoledes on its own, and you need to take a cup out in order to get it the atzoledes, so that would be a problem. Meaning that would be necessary to do. So you have to put up the water far enough in advance of Shabbos to make that happen. We're out of time. Okay, so Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up from there. Tomorrow we're going to discuss what's called, how we define what's called liquid, what's called the solid, and maybe we'll get started on the sugya of Bishlach at Sli and Sli at Rabishu. So I'll have new man comments for that. Hopefully.
Does Rabbi have an opinion on the Sefer Pnimi Halacha? Some people hold it's Mekel or...